Welcome. This is Research Break, brought to you by Research Ranker Pete. I am co-host Alyssa.
I am co-host Hannah.
And today we are back to share more thoughts about the live-action Avatar The Last Airbender show on Netflix. So last we left you, we watched episode one, the pilot. Mm-hmm. We shared some thoughts. We had some concerns. We liked some things. And now we have watched through episode four, hopefully. Fingers crossed we're at the same point.
Yes, I have.
Okay, great. So we're halfway through now. It's an 8-episode show. We wanted to touch base at the midway point, and then we're going to do another episode when we finish after episode 8.
Yeah. I think because it's like a 3-episode stretch, like, I think instead of like talking about maybe each individual episode, we can just talk about like in general.
Sure. Well, I mean, also 3 and 4 were pretty linked together.
Well, yes.
Yeah. I think 2 kind of makes sense to talk more separately, yeah. Like, or at least aspects of that episode will probably just come up independently, but yeah. 3 and 4 were kind of in the same setting.
Yeah.
Linking a lot of storylines together.
Yeah. Maybe to start, we can
talk about pacing? Or what did you want to talk about?
Well, I was going to touch on the concerns that we had had.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Because it kind of, we had talked about that last, on our last episode, kind of the concerns we had. Concerns were the characters of Iroh and Sokka.
Sokka. And you also were a little concerned about Aang as well.
I was. I will say, still love Zuko.
Zuko's great. We'll get to that. I completely agree.
Not concerned about him.
Not concerned about Zuko, no.
I will say, I think I got a little bit of a better feeling about Iroh, because I think we got to see more of him, which is what you had mentioned. You said maybe when we get more into his storyline with Zuko, that will change my opinion. And I think it did. I think it was nice to see some of the scenes, like, of him and Zuko and, like, how he took care of him. And I saw a little bit more of, like, the person I saw in the animated show. So I'm not really concerned about him anymore. Sokka, I think I'm starting to come around on. I think that I just was a little bit, like, hesitant with this character. But I think, again, we got to see a couple scenes of him that, like, showed different sides of him.
Yeah, I agree.
And also, like, getting to see him with Suki was, like, nice.
There's just a lot of noise going on upstairs.
Oh, it's fine.
I just was like, what is happening up there? Yeah. I can also cut it out of my end. Sorry to distract from you. I just was like, what is that?
I just like to see like him with like, it's Suki, right? From Yes.
The Kyoshi Warrior Suki? Yes.
I like to see them together just to kind of get like him interacting with another character. So it was cool to see. But yeah, so I think both those characters I was concerned about, I'm not so much. I think Aang too, like, we did get to see a little bit more of a playful side of him at points, which I think was, in a way, we got to see it. There's still part of me that's like, I don't know if it's like unsure or if it's just like, because the show feels different in its tone and like, I don't know. There's still a part of me that's a little bit like hesitant on that. But yeah, I mean, in terms of those two characters, I do feel better about it. I know you had some concerns about Katara.
Yeah, mine mainly character-wise was Katara. Aang, I'd say kind of with you, I was like a little unsure, but I think with Aang, part of my concern is the way that they're framed his character is like different than it was in the show, but then they're really pushing things from the show that then don't necessarily like line up for me. Like, for instance, the one thing that's a recurring thing is adults and people in this world basically like shaming him for running away, being like, the war is your fault, this is your fault, you weren't here, you didn't do anything. And And it's weird for me to hear that, because it's like the way they showed it was like, again, we talked about this in the first episode, that like he didn't even really run away. He kind of just like wanted to clear his head, the way that they showed that. But then it's like everyone's like, you ran away from your responsibilities, blah, blah, blah. And I don't really love the repetitiveness of that. Like I understand, like, they're trying to be more adult. They're trying to portray, like, the war being this horrible thing, which it is. But it's like, I don't need everyone telling me that he fucked up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that it's this 12-year-old's fault because he wasn't there. And I just, like, don't love that aspect of it, because then it makes it feel like Aang can't be fun because everybody is being so, like, you need to be serious about this. You need to be the Avatar. You have to say, you got to go to the North Pole. You got to save him. Not even, like, go learn waterbending. It's, you, I show you a little vision about how you need to go save the North Pole. And that's his mission. Yeah. It's, like, all about, like, you know, Omashu is under attack, which is a new plot point from the animated show. So you have to save these people. Like, you have to do all this. Like, and I don't love that change. That feels a little bad to me. I feel like that makes it so he can't really be as silly and, like, playful. So that's, like, yeah. My main concern is I'm afraid that that's really taking away from that, like, characteristic of Aang that's really, like, quintessential to his character, I feel like.
Right.
So that's my concern with that. Katara, I still am about the same, I would say. I just feel like she hasn't really gotten a lot to do mm-hmm. so far. And I don't know. I just feel like, and I don't think it's the actress herself. I just think that she's not really given, like, a lot to work with currently. Like, so for instance, in the third episode, they introduce several animated shows plot, like, episodes into one story. So her main, like, story plot is with Jet, the character of Jet, who originally was a different episode in a different place, but now he's in Omashu. And I feel like that story didn't really work the same way it did in the animated show, and they didn't really give enough time to that plot to make it feel the same. You know, like, I don't know. I guess I did like the part about her and her relationship with her mom. I thought that stuff worked for her. But I just, like, don't know how I feel about, like, I guess I just don't know, have enough yet to really make, like, a full opinion.
Yeah.
Because I feel like she, of all the characters, I feel like she's the least developed, and she's had the least time with the other characters. Like,
right.
She really hasn't interacted much with Aang, and, like, her and Sokka have had some scenes, but that's really it, I guess.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. That's interesting, because you're right, she hasn't gotten much development as a character, and I imagine, like, when they get to the North Water Tribe, she might get more time and, like, more development.
I would hope so.
Because that's, like, kind of her big plot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Carl, you're really just a lot right now.
Carl just wants to be as close to you as physically possible.
Okay. Yeah, so I think that's true. Like, her character, it's hard because her story so far has been, like, an aid to other characters, it almost seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Trying to, like, boost their character. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think one of the things I've noticed is, like, because I'm kind of doing this thing where I'm watching the animated show.
Right.
And this show at the same time, because I'm trying to, like, remember what the plot and, like, what happened in the animated show.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my biggest, like, concerns is, like, the humor.
Yeah.
In the Netflix show just isn't really working.
Yeah.
I
agree with that.
I think part of it has to do with, like, animated shows, you can do a lot of humor just with, like, noises or, like, facial expressions.
Right.
Like, Avatar did that a lot in the animated series.
Oh, for sure.
And yeah. that's a lot of the moments that were funny were just, like, because of the animation.
Yeah. Or the sound effects, like, the silly, right. like, wah, wah, wah. Yeah.
And I think in the Netflix show, it's, like, they're, like, they have these moments where it's, like, this is, I think, supposed to be a humor moment. And they almost, right. like, give you that pause to laugh, but I'm just, like, not feeling it.
Yeah. I would agree.
So
it's
that's,
not, yeah.
Yeah, and I know the show, like, oh, my God. I got cat hair in my mouth.
Oh, my God, you're dying. Not the cat hair.
I know the show is meant to be darker. Like, I know we've...
Yeah, but I mean, you can do, like...
Right, you can, like, do humor.
Yeah, like, Stranger Things is both funny and... I mean, the last season was pretty dark for me. Like, I feel like that balances, like, humor and darkness right. pretty well as a live-action show with yeah. children. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there are ways to do it. I just wonder if their struggle is because of trying to, like... translate the humor from an animated show to, like, live action. Maybe that's where right. it's coming from. And I was a little bit confused by... So episodes 3 and 4 both took place in the Earth
Yeah, Kingdom? So it took place in Omashu.
Okay.
Yes.
And I was a bit confused because, like, in the animated show, that's, like, a couple episodes...
So I that's the next thing I want to talk about was pacing. Okay. So we can kind of go yeah, to this.
We'll go
into that. I did a breakdown of what is covered in these two episodes from the animated show because I knew you wouldn't probably have watched those parts yet because they draw from a lot.
Yeah.
Like, we even get things from season 2, like book 2 in this episode, like these okay. episodes. So episode 2 is pretty much the Warriors of Kyoshi episode. It's
yes.
pretty, like, one-to-one. We get a little bit of a different story with Zuko and Zhao. Like, that aspect is a little bit different, but pretty similar. So that pretty much is one episode. Episodes 3 and 4, the original Omashu episode is one episode in book 1.
Yep.
And then they come back in book 2.
Okay.
So, they come back in book 2, and that's another episode in Omashu. So, technically, there are 2 different times we visit the city, but they're separated by about 20 episodes.
So, the part with the kid who's in, like, the glider chair, that's from book 2, right?
No. So, now here's the breakdown of how many episodes we get in Omashu. So, originally, Omashu was, they go to Omashu, and you watched the episode, right? They go to Omashu, they meet King Bumi.
Yes.
They meet Bumi. They have the tricks. He finds out he's his friend. Meet the cabbage merchant. All is well. In this live action version, we get the plot of Omashu, which is episode 4.
Mm-hmm.
We get the plot of Jet, which is episode 10. Takes place in a completely different place.
Okay.
You get the Northern Air Temple, which is episode, I think, 18 when I was trying to look it up. So that was the kid in the wheelchair, the glider, and the engineer.
His dad,
were in the Northern Air Temple.
Okay.
So that whole episode, and you wouldn't have gotten it to yet because it's almost at the very end of the book.
No.
It basically is, like, Aang gets there and, like, this group of people who are refugees, which is this, they took that over from the animated to the live action. Basically, they're in Omashu because they're refugees. And his dad was making stuff for the Fire Nation. So, like, that those elements were the same, but they were in a completely different location. And the reason that he could glide and, like, other people were gliding is because of the air currents that were surrounding the temple.
Okay.
So that's, like, that whole plot is, like, right before they get to the Northern Water Tribe.
Okay.
Is that. So those are the main plots of episode 3. In episode 4... we get part of the Iroh and Zuko plot lines from the Summer Solstice episode where Iroh gets captured, Zuko saves him. All of that stuff was in a completely different, was tied to, like, when they go to the meet Roku's, like, statue, if you remember that episode or have gotten to it yet.
I vaguely remember that. I don't think I've gotten to it yet, but.
It's probably coming up with, like, wherever you are in book 1. So, like, that whole plot. We also get part of the Cave of Two Lovers plot, which is an episode in book 2, where, like, that's when they come back to Omashu. They go through the Cave of Lovers with the, you know, the people singing in the caves, follow the crystals with love. But instead of, like, Sokka and Katara, it's Aang and Katara are kind of the mirroring the lovers, basically.
Okay.
So that comes back. Then we also get part of the backstory from Zuko Alone, which is a book, which is an episode in book two where you learn about Iroh's son and some of like Zuko's relationship with his cousin and some of that stuff, as well as part of the backstory of Tales of Ba Sing Se, where you also get more of Iroh, and they play that song Leaves from the Vine, which they kept playing in the background of the Iroh and Zuko scenes. And that's just what I caught.
Yeah.
So in two episodes, we get plot points from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 episodes.
Yeah.
It's wild. I was like, I just kept like writing things down. And on top of that, you also get introduced to Azula, Mei and Ty Lee, who also didn't appear in book one. So they set that up.
Okay, I didn't think they were in book one. Okay. Yeah.
They don't appear until the, I think the second episode, the Omashu is where they come back. When they return to Omashu, Mei's family is living in Omashu because the Fire Nation has taken it over at this point.
Yeah.
So that's right. I completely forgot Azula got introduced.
Yeah.
And Mei and Ty Lee. So they really just crammed so, like, the pacing of these two, these episodes three and four felt so off to me.
Yeah.
Because we didn't get, like, Aang and Sokka and Katara didn't do any of this stuff together. It was all, like, separate pieces coming together. Like, they all had their, like, Katara was probably the character who was most linked to Jet, so that makes sense. Sokka was more linked to the engineer.
Right.
Abed from Community, Danny Pudi. I wasn't mad about that. I'm like, I'll look at him.
Oh.
We'll see him in an Avatar show.
That's why he sounded so familiar.
Yes.
And looked so familiar. Okay.
Yes. I was going to say, if you didn't recognize him, you definitely...
And I forgot to look it up after. I meant to. Okay. Interesting.
And then Aang makes sense with Bumi. I also did really like Bumi either. We could also get into that in a bit. But as I was watching these two episodes, I just felt like there was no room to breathe. Like, there's no downtime. There's no, like, being in a camp or, like, you know, just, like, setting up things. Like, Appa basically wasn't in the episodes. I don't even think I remember Momo being in these episodes, to be honest.
Yeah.
They just kind of disappeared. And, like, I feel like a lot of the downtime scenes kind of establish these relationships between the characters. Like, you get to, like, the sense of their, like, community, and I just feel like by introducing all these characters at once and not really necessarily giving them the time or, like, the right, like, attention for the specific way that they were written, it just kind of feels like, I don't know, it was a lot. It was a lot to take in.
And I honestly I couldn't remember. I'm trying to look at my notes because I'd written something down.
No, that's fair.
I couldn't remember, like, to the point where I'm at in the animated show. Like, the I think the only part of that I had actually seen was the Bumi, that whole episode. And so I honestly thought a lot of that stuff happened in book one. I didn't realize that some of that didn't even happen until later on.
Yeah.
But it definitely felt, like, very overwhelming. And it felt like there was so much happening. Like, I felt like the pacing of the first two episodes, I was fine with that.
Yeah.
Like,
Episode two, I thought, went fine pacing-wise.
Right. Episode two was basically focused on one episode from the animated show. And, like, I thought that was, like, okay. Like, I was fine with that. But, yeah, I just think it felt like a lot shoved into two episodes. Especially if it's, like, all these different plots.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was weird. It was a really weird, like, having the introduction of Azula and the other two, it was really, like, sudden and weird, and it didn't really feel like it fit.
I think the reason they set this up is so that they're establishing, which didn't exist in the animated show, a relationship between Admiral Zhao, or Commander Zhao, I don't remember what he is in this, and Azula. So basically they're establishing a link between those two because, like, I get that they want to, like, establish Azula as a character before she is then chasing the Avatar, because in the animated show, she does just show up and you're like, oh,
yeah, okay,
hello. You know, like, she's not really a character until book two. But, it did feel a little weird.
Yeah.
Like, it just, and also, we also didn't really need Mei and Ty Lee. Well, yet I right. felt like they just kind of stood there and said some things, and then
yeah. that was it. I don't know. A lot of it just felt very, just very jarring. It was like yeah. we just kept jumping from one thing to the next, and yeah. I feel like someone who's never seen the animated show, they might not realize like how much content they yeah. pulled from, but I right. still feel like it would feel jarring.
Yeah. Just I will say
so much.
Shout out, the cabbage merchant was actually yeah. the cabbage merchant. Like the guy
it was the same voice. Yes,
the guy who voiced the cabbage man is the cabbage man. And I'm okay. like, that's cool. That's cool they kept him.
Yeah.
The other like little some of the times like I found some of the like little nods kind of worked a little better. So like in the animated show opening, there's a scene where Aang's riding on his little air scooter and runs into a statue, and yes. that happens in the Kyoshi episode. So like yep. that never actually happened in an episode, and I was like, oh, that's actually kind of nice.
Yeah,
like get a little goofy side and like a little nod.
Yeah,
That so moment that kind was of stuff cool. I liked. But I what was the other thing that I wanted to bring up. So I want to say a lot of these changes I'm not like I don't hate, but I'm like I don't really see how this is like an improvement necessarily. Like it's a change to be a change kind of.
Yeah.
But I will say the one thing I do like, and I'm going to emphasize this again, is that I liked, like, we got new scenes with Iroh and Zuko that did not exist in the show. So, like, the scene where he's at Iroh's son's funeral, I think his name's Lu Ten, and, yeah. like, Zuko says, like, these words about how, like, he had given him this, like, trinket or something for, like, you know, like, bravery or whatever, like, and, like, Iroh, like, that helped Iroh, like, through his grief, and then like Iroh joining Zuko on the ship. Like those scenes didn't exist in the animated show, and I liked those quite a bit. Like I thought that added like the character depth that like we know exists but like yeah. doesn't exist yet in the show, and they do it way earlier. Like that stuff happens in book two or the end of book one, so like we don't really get that link established right away, but I kind of thought that worked, like establishing that now in the show,
yeah,
and kind of changing that dynamic earlier on. So I did enjoy those scenes quite a bit. I thought those were yeah. nice. I almost teared up once. I got a little like, oh, like a little, that was cute.
Yeah. You know? When I started to hear the leaves from the vine.
Yeah.
When I started to realize that's what that was, I was like, oh.
Yeah, I know.
I did get a little bit emotional. Yeah. I mean, that's like, to me, like the highlight of the show right now is, like, not just Zuko, but, like, seeing him and Iroh together.
Yeah.
And, like, I think yeah. they're doing a good job of showing their relationship.
Right.
And, like, making you feel things about yeah. it. So I feel like that's been a strong suit.
And I think they're doing a good job of establishing that, like, Zuko is, like, he's a gray character where like he is a good person, but he has like there's a lot going on, like one stuff that we don't know about because they still haven't talked about like how he got a scar, why he's banished, like that stuff still hasn't come up yet. I imagine it'll come up maybe in the next couple episodes.
Yeah,
they're doing Blue Spirit, which they better or I'm gonna lose it. We're gonna get that backstory in that time frame. Yeah, if they don't do Blue Spirit, that'll be the biggest waste of any media you could get, like, because that right. episode's fantastic. You wouldn't have got to it yet, but that episode, that and the storm are, like, my two favorite episodes from this book. The other thing I thought worked is the waterbending Skrull Katara gets.
Yeah.
So in the animated show, there's an episode where there's, like, a pirate ship, and she steals the scroll, and then there's a whole, like, chase sequence with the pirates, and then, you know, Zuko shows up, and then there's, like, a three chase thing, whatever, going on, and Aang is really good at waterbending. Katara is, like, struggling, and, you know, I liked the change in this, that it's her grandmother gives her the scroll. It's, like, this is something that is from in her family, like, it's yours now, use it. And I'm, like, that makes sense. Like, that checks out. Why wouldn't they have waterbending scrolls, you know, in the Southern Pole? Like, why wouldn't they have that stuff? So it makes sense that her grandmother would give it to her, and then we can kind of bypass the whole pirate part. And I'm like, that checks out. I'm totally cool if they don't have the pirate episode, and that is now, like, here's your scroll, here's the water whip.
Right.
The one thing I do find concerning is the fact that Aang has not even attempted to waterbend once this entire time. And they really didn't set up, like, in the animated show, they're like, you need to learn waterbending. So that's why we're going to the North Pole. We can learn together. They never established that. It was like, Kyoshi was like, hey, look at this. Go to the North Pole. There's something's going to happen. So that's why they're going to the North Pole. And, like, while Katara's practicing, Aang just kind of walks up and is like, oh, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then walks away. And I'm like, and you're not going to try? Like, you're not going to do some waterbending? So I'm a little concerned about that. The fact that there has been no, like, established of Aang, like, learning bending.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
I don't know what to make about that.
Yeah, that is... The problem I have is that I don't know... It's like, there's, it's weird because, like, the show has source material to go off of.
Yeah.
But it's almost like there's, like, a lack of direction. And, like, it's almost like there's, like, a lack of, like, what they're trying to do. Like,
yeah.
There's some disconnect where it's...
So, I wonder, because they are changing some of, like, the structural plot elements of book one. One of these being, so I imagine if they're kind of following the major plot points of book one, that probably the next episode is going to be them going to the summer solstice temple, that Roku's temple, where, like, he meets Roku and Roku tells him about the comet.
Yeah.
And, like, you have to defeat the Fire Lord before the comet comes. Like, that's when they drop the, like, oh, that's why we're doing this. You got to learn the elements. You can defeat the Fire Lord because the comet's coming. I'm wondering if maybe they're not going to push that. Like, maybe that's not how they want to formulate the show, because they're not, like, the pieces aren't being set up the same way. Like, they're going to the North Pole. That's the same. But the way we're getting there is not...
Right.
It's not following the same trajectory. So I'm wondering if, like, they don't want to do things the same way. And they're, like, really more focused on the Avatar itself.
Yeah.
As opposed to that journey. Mm-hmm. Which I, like... I don't know. I guess I can see that working. But I don't know what the overarching goal is if they're not going to do that. Right? And that's just, like, hypothetically, you know.
Yeah, the, like, there seems to be, like, a lack of execution. Like, I feel like they're trying to do new things, which I can, like, see that. Because, like, you're not going to repeat the show, exactly.
Yeah, right. And we talked about that. We don't want the exact same thing.
And you have to find ways to, like, mix it up. But I just, like, don't know if the execution's all the way there.
Yeah, it's really weird because, like, even the stuff with Zhao, like, that's structured differently. Like, it's set up like Zhao knows Zuko, knows Iroh in the animated show. They have a fight. They had their Agni Kai fight, which you would have seen that episode.
Yeah.
Like, establishing, like, you know, and in the animated show, they make it like, oh, let's work together. Meanwhile, like, Azula is messaging him. He already sent a message to the Fire Lord. And I'm like, honestly, I'm okay with this change. Like,
yeah.
They're doing... changes with, like, the Fire Nation stuff, like Zuko, Iroh, Zhao, that I'm like, this makes sense. This works. Like, I think this is a fine change, but it's, like, the overall plot, I'm like, I don't know why they would make this change or, like, why they would do that. So it's weird. It's, like, some stuff they're doing well.
Right.
And other stuff they're just, like,
just not.
Missing the mark on. Yeah.
Yeah. I do
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I wanna go... back, like back up a little bit to episode two, because we've kind of, like, skipped most of that.
Yeah.
Just due to the fact that three and four link together. Did you want to say something else about
We can save it, because it's more of, like, a general thing.
Okay. So, I'm going to be honest. I actually really liked episode two.
I did, too.
I was pleasantly happy with the way it turned out. One, we actually met Momo, so he exists.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, he's cute.
I think I said that might happen. Like, they would pick up right where they left off, sort of deal.
I liked some of the changes they made about Kyoshi Island. The fact that, like, Suki didn't have a mom, you know, a named character. And I honestly was kind of okay with the fact that she's, like, kind of weird. Because, again, they're on an isolated island. You know, she's a teenager.
Yeah.
She doesn't know anything. Like, then they're a tiny island. They're not involved with the war. So they're kind of, like, isolated.
Yeah.
I liked her dynamic with Sokka. It was, like, slightly different, but I thought still worked.
It worked, yeah.
And I liked that we got Kyoshi, Avatar Kyoshi, because that was something I had talked about, that I was like, that'd be cool if we got to see Kyoshi, and we did. Because the original show, she's not, like, you don't see her until book two, I think, when they go back to Kyoshi Island, when they return. So it was nice to, like, have Aang make that connection with her, and then, like, kind of take over his essence, like Roku will do, or did later in the animated show. Like, he kind of took over his body to firebend during the solstice, but she does it here while they're linked. And basically they established that, like, if you're at their, like, shrine or temple, they can, like, visit with you, or, like,
right,
you know, you can connect to the avatar that way, or past lives that way. And I'm like, that checks out, like, I'm cool with that. But I liked the I liked that they took lines from the animated show too. They had her say things, because I was like, I recognize that line. So she says something, only justice will bring peace, and that's, like, in the end, the finale of book three. That's what she says to Aang when she, like, gives him her wisdom about defeating the Fire Lord. That's, like, the line she gives him, and I was like, oh, that's cool, like, a nice little throwback.
Yeah,
and I know you've read the books, right? The Kyoshi books?
Yeah, it's been a couple years, but okay. Yes.
So I never read the books, but I know, like, I was, like, reading something online because I was just curious that, like, apparently they did draw from some of the stuff from the books, like, for this, and I'm like, that's kind of cool, like, establishing more character for her. The spirit world looked interesting. It kind of looked like he was, like, tripping, you know, like...
Yeah, a little LSD moment.
A little bit of a After Effects color thing going on. But I thought, like, the changes with that episode worked.
Yeah.
I thought they worked fine. I liked that it kind of felt the same, but just different. And, like, there was, like, a plot point where, like, Aang and Katara are fighting kind of deal. And I was like, I don't really need that in this episode. Like, I'm cool.
Yeah, it was because, like, Aang was all like, I'm the Avatar. Like, yeah. And I was like, I didn't really need that either. Mm-hmm. I did like getting... I felt like I got to see Suki a lot more as a character in this.
Yeah.
As opposed to you see her, like, in the initial episode of the animated show, because you don't... Mm-hmm. I mean, you get some of her character, but it was interesting to have, like, this mom character added.
Right.
Because, like you said, it kind of, like, played into, like, understanding her as a character more. Mm-hmm. So it was cool to see that. I thought, like, too, like, the fighting scenes were really cool that they did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and obviously, like, seeing Kyoshi was, like, I love Kyoshi. Like,
she's great. You know, she's great. She's fun.
She's tough love, but she knows what she's doing. And, like, yeah, so I really like that episode. I think of all the episodes so far, that one's been my favorite.
Yeah, I would agree.
Just because I think it was probably executed the best.
I would agree. That's also been my favorite so far. So, if, like, that's the thing. I'm like, if we get episodes more like that with the back half, I'll be happier than if we get episodes more like 3 and 4.
Yeah.
Because those were a little rough for me. Just pacing wise and, like, there just was so much going on,
right,
that it just, like, felt endless. Like, it was just cut until it was done. So I thought some of the fight scene choreography I thought was fun. Like, I liked Zuko and Aang fighting in the little village of Omashu, like the marketplace, like through the rugs and blankets and stuff. They were kind of, like, getting evasive stuff in there. I really didn't like the stuff with Bumi. I wasn't a huge fan of that.
Well, they changed up, like, the story a bit, and it was kind of just, I don't know.
He was so mean. He was, like, so angry and, like, not joyful. And, like,
in the animated show, he would, like, basically the whole thing was, like, he set up these tests and, like, there wasn't, like, that anger there. And it was so, it was weird to see. I don't know. I wasn't a huge fan of that either.
So I didn't love that part of the plot point. And also the fact that it was just Aang and nobody else, you know? Like,
yeah.
I don't know. That felt a little off.
It felt lower stakes because, like, in the animated show, like, Sokka and Katara are there. And they're, like, encased in crystals. Encased in
the gem and might or whatever.
It's, and so there's, like, some sense of urgency. Whereas this, it just felt like it wasn't there. And, like, I did like seeing the secret tunnel, the group. Yeah. The thing that I was going to bring up, unless you have more you want to say specifically about
I don't think anything, like specific to the episodes. Yeah.
What should I call this? The Netflix effect?
The Netflix effect.
The Netflix effect. So, obviously, the show is produced and put out by Netflix.
Of course.
Which I assumed that meant it would have some influence.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have to imagine so, considering the creators of the show left.
Right.
Due to creative differences, I'd have to imagine it's something due to Netflix.
And I can definitely tell, based off some of the writing, that there is, like, this... Like, Netflix has a way of writing a lot of their shows...
With a bunch of exposition.
Yeah, and also shows that are, like, deal with, like, teenagers or, like, young adults, adolescents.
Oh, no.
They have this way of, like, writing. And I think it's... I don't know if I noticed it so much in the first episode, but it definitely has come through... In the, it says my internet connection is unstable.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to interrupt you, but the face you were frozen on was like...
Oh, you were also frozen on my screen, so I was just, like, going with it.
I was trying not to laugh, because my end's going to be recorded, so you just are like...
You were
so
also...
I missed a little bit of that first part, right when the internet cut off. You said something about, like, Netflix has a... They write, like, teenagers, and then I didn't catch a little bit of that.
Yeah, so, like, my whole point was basically that, like, Netflix has this way of writing. A lot of shows, when it involves, like, teenagers and, like, adolescents, like, they have this way of how they write shows that can be a little bit, like...
Like, patronizing?
Patronizing, sometimes a little bit, like, cheesy. Like, they try a little too hard.
I would agree with that.
And I feel like I've noticed that. I didn't really notice it in the pilot episode, but I have noticed it. In, like, episodes 3 and 4, I started to notice it a bit more. And it's like, it's a little too Netflix influenced in some ways.
You mean, like, the stuff where Katara's like, stop treating me like a little girl. Yeah. And he's like, you are, you know, you'd stop acting like one.
Yeah. It just feels a bit, like, in your face. And, And I don't know. I mean, there's some Netflix shows that I really love. And I think they're written really well. But I can sense a little bit of, like... It's just a little too much at times.
I feel like something I've noticed is they tend to, like, talk exposition things that we don't really need.
Yeah.
They, like, over-explain things sometimes.
Yeah.
That I don't think we necessarily need. Like, I feel like we always talk about it with Pixar, like, show, don't tell. Like, sometimes you don't need to say words. Like, you don't have to say things to convey a point. Like,
right.
To convey an emotion, to convey something. Yep. You can just show... a scene, and that can give you everything that you need.
Yeah.
And I feel like this show so far has done a lot of exposition, like, heavy exposition.
Yes.
Talks. And that's kind of getting back to the point of, like, everyone being like, you ran away, you weren't here. And I'm
right.
Like, I think we get that already.
Right.
Like, we don't need every single person he meets to tell him that. Like, that doesn't, like, because Kyoshi told him that, Bumi told him that. Like, when they got to Amashu, that came up. It came up in the water, like, when he showed up at the Southern Water Tribe, they were like, you ran away, like, you left. Like, so every episode it's come up, pretty much.
Yeah.
The same idea, and I'm like, I get it, I understand, you don't need to keep, like, force-feeding me this idea that he left, that war is, like, his fault, he now has this burden of responsibility on his shoulders. Like, I get it, I knew that. I got that after,
I think,
like,
that's
the first,
like,
episode.
When I don't know if I'm frozen again, because you're frozen.
You are frozen again, but I can hear you.
When I say, like, in your face, I think that's a little bit of what I mean. It's like, they just keep driving the same point across.
Yeah. It just feels a little heavy-handed.
And now it's just frozen.
I didn't say that wrong.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, it was frozen. It was frozen again.
Heavy-handed.
Yeah, it's just too much.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting that, like, I feel like in the animated show, Aang is the one who's often suggesting what they should do or where they should go. Like, with all the fun adventure stuff, like, when they get to Amashu, he's like, take the rail system, like, ride in the carts. And in this one, he doesn't even attempt to do that. Like, Bumi's the one who's like, we got one final test for you, let's ride this. When it's like, I feel like he's not... he's kind of like a like reacting to everyone else as opposed to like being the one to initiate some of those things, like especially with the playful side of him.
Yeah,
you know. So I feel like that's felt a little weird to me. I don't know. So some of like the character stuff feels a little weird. So far. I do agree though. Like Sokka, I think is fine. I'm content with Sokka. I love clearly in love with Zuko's character. It's Aang and Katara that I'm still just like. Aang is fine.
Yeah.
So far, like it could be better, but Katara, I'm still just like I'm worried that they're not gonna give her enough to do other than like learn waterbending, because right now that's kind of. All we get from her is, like,
right.
learning to waterbend independently, and that's it.
So. Yeah. Yeah. I'm interested to see what they do with her the second half.
Yeah.
I mean, it was cool to see Daniel Dae Kim.
Yeah. Yeah, we got to actually see him as Fire Lord.
Love him, you know.
That was great.
He's great. Also,
can we talk about how... when we meet Azula, there's like... Oh, and that's another thing I wanted to mention. I thought it was really interesting to get the perspective of Fire Nation citizens who want to overthrow the Fire Lord.
Oh, yeah, because yeah. Because
that's not really an aspect that we get a lot of until, like, later on in the show.
No, but
not in the same way.
Yeah, and it was, like, a pretty quick scene, but I think they did it in a way that was, like... It worked. Yeah,
it worked, but I'm also like, you guys were not prepared.
Yeah, they really I'm just, like...
what were you thinking? Like, you didn't have guns? Or, I mean, I don't even know if guns exist.
But still, they basically just went in there with nothing.
They had, like, bare-bones weapons, and that's it. And then they were like, oh, no. We thought we could take on the Fire Lord.
We got burnt to a crisp.
And we got burnt to a crisp.
I think that, honestly, was, like... I almost feel like that scene specifically was there just to show, like, how, like, ruthless and, like...
Oh, yeah, to introduce Azula, for
right, and, like, even the Fire Lord and Azula, like, just to show, like, how much they're, like, we're gonna burn all these people to a crisp.
I think that is in the established, like, her and the Fire Lord's relationship, I think, earlier.
So I get that scene for that purpose, but they were dumb as hell.
Yeah. I was like, what did I write? Wait, I wrote a thing. They are also very, in all caps, unprepared.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Yeah.
So, like, some of the stuff I thought was interesting. Some of the stuff I thought worked. Mainly related to Zuko and Iroh plot points. And then, I don't know. I'm still feeling a little... meh. I'd still probably give about a 6 out of 10, I'd say.
Yeah, I would...
for all of it. Like, episode 2, I'd probably give more of like a 7... 7.5, I'd say.
I'd give it like a 5.5 total.
Probably a 6 overall is where I'm feeling.
Because I think the pilot to me was about like a 5, 5.5. Mm-hmm. I felt like the second episode was like, 7. And then the last two, honestly, were like 3 or 4s for me.
Yeah.
So I would probably give it like a 5.5 total. I mean, I'm not blown away by it.
I'm not blown away either.
It's not better than the animated show by any means.
No.
No,
I would agree with that.
I do enjoy getting a couple new storylines. But it really all is going to depend on how they go about the second half.
Yeah, because I'm curious if, like, if they're already going to be... they already did draw in things from book 2. I'm just curious, like, are there other things that are going to be pulled into... the show from book 2 that weren't there necessarily, or are we gonna mainly get things from book 1? I'm also wondering, like, are we gonna get any, like, new characters, like specific new character plot lines that aren't like an established plot line?
When does
Toph,
when does she come in? In the animated?
Near the beginning of book 2.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think episode 6 is her episode.
I couldn't remember, like, when she had come in. Yeah,
so I would, frankly, if she shows up in this book, I would be shocked.
Yeah,
if she
shows up in the season,
I'd be shocked. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess I don't know in terms, I feel like we've already gotten a lot of characters.
Yeah, because I was trying to think of, like, what plot points are in the first season that we haven't gotten yet. that I like. So I think we're gonna, I'm gonna assume the fortune teller episode is not gonna exist in this show, would be my guess. If I had to pick, like, we have four episodes. If they're smart, we're definitely getting like a blue spirit, Zuko backstory, like Aang gets captured, like that has to be here somewhere, and that might just be its own episode.
Mm-hmm.
I also feel like we have to get the summer solstice, like, Roku episode,
yeah,
because, or like a part of an episode with that, because that was a really, I mean, that's a very important plot point in the animated show, but also like establishing that link with Roku, who's the previous avatar, I think is going to be important,
right?
Especially if they did Kyoshi, I feel like we're gonna see these past avatars more, like, earlier on than we did in the animated show, would yeah. be my guess. Because in the first show, we only get Roku up until, like, book two, and even into book three. And then, I don't know what else we would get other than potentially two episodes in the Northern Water Tribe.
Right.
I feel like that's a lot to put in one episode, like, them getting there, establishing, like, having the everything that happens in those episodes. I feel like it could just be one episode, I guess, but
yeah,
I feel like maybe they'll get there partway into it, the last second to last episode, like maybe it'll be like an episode and a half kind of deal,
right?
But I'm trying to think, like, because they covered the northern air temple already, I'm assuming we're not going to get that part, like that location, because they already covered the story. We're not getting Jet. Jet already happened, so that right. episode's gone. I think the pirate episode's not happening. Oh, there is the episode where they meet John Jong, and he, like, learns firebending.
Oh, yeah.
So I don't know if they're going to do that maybe part of an episode. So, like, I don't know. I'm not sure how these plot points are going to work themselves out, or if they're going to do something new. That's yeah. kind of my main thing. Like, what's going to be new, or are we going to cram a ton of things into these episodes? I'm not sure.
Right.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't know.
We will find out.
Yeah, we'll find out. I'm not... What's the word I want to use? I'm not excited to watch the next four episodes, but I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'm curious about the next four episodes.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same.
And mainly, I'm curious about Zuko and Iroh.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah. the thing that, like, makes me want to keep watching is Zuko and Iroh.
Yeah, specifically. Because, again, we get in that blue spirit, I'm in. Like, I believe that'll be good. If they've done well with all that, I, like, feel confident that stuff's going to be good. I also am curious about the Northern Water Tribe stuff, because that stuff is really well done in the animated show.
Yeah.
With the, like, the Princess Yue and the water spirits and, like, everything with that, I think is really well done.
Right.
So, I'm curious. But I still feel like it could be okay. You know?
Yeah.
It could be okay. I feel like I saw it's the most watched show on Netflix in the world currently. I imagine there's no way it doesn't get renewed for a season two.
Yeah.
But at this point, the actors, were aged roughly the age of the animated characters. And I think they filmed the first season 2 years ago. So it's like, if they haven't even started filming the second season, they're now...
Yeah.
2+ years older, which, I mean, if you've seen Stranger Things, it is yeah, so apparent how old those kids look.
Yeah. Especially, like, because I feel like it's different if you have, like, people who are, like, already, like, 17, 18.
Yeah,
like, they're not going to look much different, but, like, when right. they're, like, younger, like, especially, like, Aang and, like, some of the characters yeah. who look younger, it's, like, very yeah. evident.
Like, I think Zuko will be fine, because I think
he already looked a little bit older.
Like a teenager to begin
and
with.
And even, so like, Sokka.
Yeah, I think he's probably...
he already looks a little bit older, so it's, yeah. like, some of those characters I think would be okay.
Yeah.
I worry a little bit, like, Katara and Aang, because they both yeah. looked a little bit younger, so I worry about how they'll...
Or even, like, Azula, and, yeah. like, Toph, when they introduce a Toph, because Toph's also supposed to be, like, the same age
right.
as Aang, you know, like, 12, 13.
Yeah, that would be interesting to see.
So, yeah, I'm curious, but... We'll see. Still not sold on it. Still not amazed by what I've seen. But maybe that'll change.
Yeah.
If I cry, that's the goal. Will something related to Zuko and Iroh make me cry? That's my goal. I want to tear up. I want to properly tear up.
I agree.
So, on that note, anything else you want to add?
No.
Cool. Well, if you want to contact us, we have our Gmail, r3podcasts@gmail.com. You can email us about any comments you have, or you can DM us on Instagram, Research Ranker Pete. We also have a Letterboxd account that I've been meaning to update and still haven't done yet, but one day I will do it. But yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts. If you disagree or have like feel differently about the show, either good or bad, love to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Interested to what other people have to say. I've talked to a few people I know who have watched some of it. I've gotten like mixed, I feel like is probably the general reception of people that I know is like mixed, which is about what I've kind of like vaguely seen online and kind of how it seems like we both are feeling about it. So yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye. We would like to thank Joseph McDade for our intro music. He provides free music available for all kinds of creative use. The song that we used is called Sunrise Expedition, and you can find it and his other music on his website, josephmcdade.com. If you would like to reach us, you can email us at r3podcasts@gmail.com. That's r3podcasts@gmail.com. Or you can find us on Instagram by searching Research Rank Repeat.